I'm here in Budapest, and this morning we had a little discussion on ghost tattva. So that's what you're going to hear about. Not because it was my selection of topics, but that's because it's what Srila Prabhupada's talking about in his purport in Srimad Bhagavatam, and this is about Prithu Maharaj milks the earth planet, and it's text 18, which says, Vatsena Pitaroriyamna Kavyam Kshiram Adukshita Atma Patri Mahabhaga Shraya Shradhadevata. The fortunate inhabitants of Prithvi Loka who preside over the funeral ceremonies made Aryama into a calf. With great faith, they milked Kavya, food offered to the ancestors, into an unbaked earthen pot. And here's the purport. In Bhagavad Gita it is said, Pitrinyanti Pitrimvataha. Those who are interested in family welfare are called Pitri Vrata. There is a planet called Pitriloka, and the predominating deity of the planet is called Aryama. He is somewhat of a demigod, and by satisfying him, one can help ghostly family members develop a gross body. Those who are very sinful and attached to their family, house, village, or country do not receive a gross body made of material elements, but remain in a subtle body composed of mind, ego, and intelligence. Those who live in such subtle bodies are called ghosts. This ghostly position is very painful because a ghost has intelligence, mind, and ego and wants to enjoy material life. But because he doesn't have a gross material body, he can only create disturbances for want of material satisfaction. It is the duty of family members, especially the son, to offer oblations to the demigod Aryama or to Lord Vishnu. From time immemorial in India, the son of a dead man goes to Gaya and at a Vishnu temple there offers oblations for the benefit of his ghostly father. It is not that everyone's father becomes a ghost, but the oblations of Pinda are offered to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu so that if a family member happens to become a ghost, he will be favored with a gross body. However, if one is habituated to taking the prasad of Lord Vishnu, there is no chance of his becoming a ghost or anything lower than a human being. In Vedic civilization, there is a performance called Shraddha, by which food is offered with faith and devotion. If one offers oblations with faith and devotion, either to the feet of Lord Vishnu or to his representatives in Prithvi Loka, Aryama, one's forefathers will attain material bodies to enjoy whatever material enjoyment is due them. In other words, they do not have to become ghosts. All right. We know that there are such things exist as ghosts. In fact, from the technical point of view, all of us are ghosts. As Srila Prabhupada here defines that the ego covered by mind and intelligence is the subtle body. And that subtle body, in the absence of a gross body, is called a ghost. So within our gross bodies, we are our own ghosts. And that ghost, subtle body, has the material desire, the desire to enjoy, planning capacity for that, as well as the executive function in terms of the mind and the intelligence, that enjoyment can be realized through the senses of the gross material body. When a living entity has only a subtle body and does not have this gross body, does not have any type of senses with which to realize his desires, then that person is called a ghost. Now, who becomes a ghost? Srila Prabhupada says, those who are very sinful and attached to their family, house, village, etc. So if one performs a sin, and a sin that Srila Prabhupada commonly talks about, and what you know about is, for instance, the sin of committing suicide. If one destroys one's own body, obviously he doesn't deserve to have another gross physical body. It's murder, and a very specific type of murder. Then, all right, you don't like a gross body, then just live in a subtle body. So one becomes a ghost. In Mahabharata and other Puranic literatures, we read about Brahma Rakshasas, or we read about Brahma ghosts who were extremely sinful in their previous lifetimes, and because they abused the senses in their body so much. They receive the body of a ghost. And then, of course, if someone is very much attached to their body, their family, their village, their home, those things which gives identity to your body, although your body is dead, then because you're attached to what you were in your past life, you're attached to what this body was before it died. Therefore, you don't want to move on to take another body because you're not willing to enter into another family in another village in another country, but you want to stay where you are. And therefore, we find that there are these stories about haunted houses and how people haunt their ancestral homes. And that's, as Srila Prabhupada said, is due to this very strong type of attachment. Now, there are two ways that one becomes free from a ghostly body. One is by the natural course of exhausting the results of the sinful activity that got you there. And the other one, which is the Vedic process, is the Pitrivrata, is offering oblations to forefathers. My immediate relative has just died not long ago, and therefore I offer Krishna Prasadam to him, because by eating Krishna Prasadam, then automatically one becomes liberated from any type of ghostly body, and one is able to move on to his next life. Traditionally, this is done at Gaya, the Lord Vishnu's footprints are to be found in Gaya, and when there's a death in the family, then usually the eldest son will go there and he'll offer oblations in the name of his father. And obviously, that which is offered to the Lord and accepted by the Lord, the prasadam of the Lord in the name of another person, therefore that person is liberated. He may not be in the body of a ghost, but, and especially in Kali Yuga, one does not know what one's next destination is. People are not pious. Naturally, in the course of their lives, there's a good chance that many people are taking birth as ghosts. However, devotees who all their lives are taking Krishna Prasadam, they don't take birth as ghosts. If offering the prasadam of the Lord frees a ghost from the ghostly body, then how can a devotee who's been eating prasadam all his life again become a ghost? Here Srila Prabhupada says he's guaranteed of actually taking at least a human body in his next life. Now, sometimes the question comes up that devotees have experience with being attacked by subtle beings, by ghosts. This happens when they're asleep. And this is the phenomena or the tendency of the ghosts. Srila Prabhupada, he says that they cause a disturbance because they don't have a gross body. They only have a subtle body. Therefore, they want to use the senses in the body of another to realize their own desires. And those individuals who are of lower modes of material nature, who have a very weak-willed, they become easily overtaken or influenced by ghosts. In fact, more than one, it may be many, who enter into the body, and they will exhibit a schizophrenic personality, split personality. That doesn't mean that all schizophrenics are ghostly haunted, but ghostly hauntings appear as schizophrenic because the original person, his personality is present, and now the ghost's personality is present, and sometimes one may dominate, sometimes the other. And this way a person will have unusual behavioral characteristics that were not his before, because now the ghost is trying to fulfill his desires. So why is it that devotees become disturbed by ghosts? Because devotees who are still subject and influenced by the lower modes of material nature, particularly the mode of ignorance, who have unclean habits, they are also subject to such influences. Those devotees who are in the mode of goodness, they are, as Srila Prabhupada called himself, ghost-proof. If you're transcendentally situated, then there's no question of any of Maya's representatives. Krishna Surya Samahaya Maya Andaka. Wherever Krishna is, then there's no question of Maya Devi being there. So if one's consciousness is fully absorbed in Krishna, then there'll be no Maya and there'll be no ghost, there'll be nothing else. Even if one is properly situated in goodness, then one will not be influenced by such beings. However, if devotees are a reflection of a Vaishnava, then until they come to that state of purification of heart and freedom of material desire, then it may be that they may become affected like this and have troubled sleep. Now, there are different examples of ghosts in our Vaishnava tradition. One is in Chaitanya Charitamrita, and that's the story about Chota Haridas. Chota Haridas was a pure Vaishnava, but he went to Prayag and committed suicide. When news got back to the devotees who were already hearing his voice at night, they assumed that for the sin of committing suicide, Chota Haridas had taken birth as a ghost and was serenading Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Swarup Damodar Goswami corrected them, saying that Chota Haridas was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associate. He was a devoted Vaishnava, and at the time of leaving his body, he was certainly thinking about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, Yam Yam Bhapi Swarup Bhavam. Therefore, he attained the result of his destination. He couldn't have taken a sinful ghost body, but rather he must have taken another body, which then Krishna Kaviraj Goswami describes that he got a spiritual body, which was resembled that of a Gandharva. And in that form, he was singing to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So here's the example that even though a Vaishnav took his own life, but because of his very deep absorption in service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, therefore he attained the higher destination. There was a sannyasi in ISKCON who actually fell from his vows of celibacy. And he also followed that example of Chota Haridas and committed suicide in Prayag. There's some Brahmins, it seems that at least they were still doing that somewhat about 25, 30 years ago, where they take you into the at the confluence of the rivers in a boat, and they tie weights to your feet, rocks to your feet and hands, and chanting mantras throw you overboard, and you drown, with the idea that leaving the your body in the holy place at the confluence of these, that you'll attain a higher destination. Srila Prabhupada, of course, didn't approve of that when he heard that this is what happened to his sannyasi, but rather he said that even though he may have fallen down, still he should have continued to render service. Apichit sudaracharo, even one is very badly behaved, still they should continue to render service, and by rendering service then the devotees ultimately become free from their misbehavior and become properly situated. Kshitram bhavati dharmatra. Quickly he becomes righteous, as Krishna. So it's not something that devotees should plan. But still the potency of chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam are such, and then that just brings to mind some other examples. For instance, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when on going on Namhada preaching, came to a village where a ghost was living in a tree. He had a Brahmin recite Srimad Bhagavatam at the foot of the tree, and when Bhagavatam was finished, the tree fell down and the ghost was liberated. Ghosts often live in trees. Trees are really in the mode of ignorance, so it's not very difficult to enter over there, although there's very little facility for sense gratification in a tree. But at least they use it as some kind of house or a refuge. Another similar example, though, was with Bhaktisanta Saraswati Thakur, that on a preaching event, he went to a village where they were constantly plagued by ghosts, and they said that they were having some kirtaniya party, chanting Hare Krishna beneath the tree, but it was having no effect. The ghost was so powerful. Bhaktisanta Saraswati Thakur went there at night, chanted japa, and the ghosts left. And his answer was that the kirtaniyas were professional singers, and the offensive chanting of the holy name won't get rid of ghosts, but the pure chanting will. So therefore, like all other enticements of the material energy, ghosts are just another one of which one can become freed from by taking full shelter of the Lord, chanting purely, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and living a very clean lifestyle. One will certainly be able to free from such influences, and certainly one will achieve a higher destination. There will be no risk of such a Vaishnav taking the body of the ghost. Anyway, these were some of the topics we discussed today in our Ghost Tattva class.